You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Ah, New York City, the city that never sleeps. One of the most romantic places in the world, filled with happy couples and also couples who argue walking down 7th Avenue. But Valentine's Day will look a little different this year because of the pandemic. Let's see how one couple who are, how you say, very homosexual is celebrating.
Happy Valentine's Day, babe.
Happy Valentine's Day. Many more. Oh, you got some on your... Here. Let me get it.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
You got schmutz on your face.
Hi.
Aww.
I'm serious. It's been sitting there for 2 weeks. Oh my God, that was incredible!
I am so glad I'm experiencing this with you.
Valentine's Day is not the same this year, but at least we still have Linda Eder singing Man of Le Mancha. I will never know what inspired her to sing that song, but I am not complaining. Happy Valentine's Day, mon chéri.
Broadway, Broadway, in all of its glory.
We all have a memory.
We all have a story.
Was there an understudy?
Or did the show stop?
Wait.
Did you see Barbara before she shot to the top?
Cool.
Join us as we revel in our reverie. It's my Broadway memory.
That jazz.
Oh, hello, everyone. Welcome to my Broadway memory. I am Remy Germanario.
And I'm Michael Kushner. We are celebrating an early Valentine's Day, and we're celebrating Black History Month here on my Broadway memory.
Yes, absolutely. We have some double dates with some theatrical couples this month, and we'll be highlighting organizations who are helping Black communities to celebrate Black History Month as well. Tonight, our double date, our spouses, Marty Gould Cummings and Blake Allen in the house, and they'll be coming on a little late.
But first, a little bit about the show for those of you who might be first-time viewers. My Broadway Memory aims to keep Broadway alive until the theater returns. Us and our amazing guests will discuss our favorite unheard stories either by picking a playbill at random or from their collection or referencing a piece of memorabilia or honestly just kibitzing over stories in a random memory.
And see, these stories that have been told in my Broadway memory have sometimes never been told publicly before. So you really do get a special look at the world of Broadway, you know, from those who are in the thick of it.
I would say most of the stories are actually unheard. But if you would like to keep up with news and future guests, please give us a follow on the social media.
Yes, on Instagram and Facebook, we are at My Broadway Memory. And on Twitter, we are at My B-Way Memory.
Yes, and you'll find out ways that you can be on the show, too. Do you have a Broadway memory to share? Well, pull a playbill from your collection and record a one-minute video discussing your memory and email it to mybroadwaymemory@gmail.com for a chance to be featured on the show in a future episode.
Yes, we really want to hear from you, so pull those playbills and keep them coming. Oh,
yay,
thanks, Alan.
Right,
Alan's
there.
Our amazing producer.
Alan.
Hey, Alan, for doing that. But now, without further ado, I think we should bring on our incredible guest.
Yes.
Yeah, so our first guest is the fabulous Marty Gould Cummings. Marty is a New York City drag artist, television personality, and political figure. More on that later. Throughout their nearly decade-long drag career, Marty has been a regular fixture in the nightlife world, performing up to 6 regular shows a week and venues all over the country and the world. You can see Marty on Fusion TV's Shade, Queens of NYC, or the Marty Report on Logo, show, Dragged on Yahoo, and on the Exchange Rate on the Build series. Marty, very, very cool, is also a candidate for the city council in New York City.
Got my vote. And our second half of our Broadway double date is Blake Allen. Blake Allen is an award-winning composer, arranger, orchestrator, and musician. Allen's latest album, Sonatas, topped many music charts. Blake has performed with the New York Pops, Little Orchestra Society, The Who, The Eagles, Pink Martini, Philip Glass, and In Tootsie, and Misery on Broadway. He understudied Laurie Metcalf. Just kidding. Wait, no, that's Bruce Willis, right? Wait, was that Laurie Metcalf?
It was.
Anyway, moving on. Numerous off-Broadway shows and was the music director and orchestrator of the first New York City revival of the Tony-winning Sherman Brothers musical Over Here, as well as being the creator and musical director of the sold-out hit series An Evening With, among other amazing credits. And he is, of course, Marty's musical director.
So please welcome Marty Gould Cummings and Blake Allen.
Okay.
Hi, you two.
Wait, before we start, the Linda Eder clip was so funny because literally 3 days ago, some people might have seen it on my Twitter or Instagram. I
didn't see it.
I had the urge to Linda Eder. And I was like, I have to Linda Eder. I need Linda Eder. And so we watched that, the Leading Ladies of Broadway from 1990. So we watched Linda Eder, then we watched all the other videos of the amazing women in that
great concert.
Great concert. They need to bring it back with like today's Leading Ladies as well.
Yes.
But then we did a deep dive into Linda Eder and found her performing on like an Atlantis gay cruise in 1999 where she's like a little tipsy. She's like, the gays are living, and she like the band had never played with her before. It was very apparent.
And the band was so straight.
And she's like, bring on the men, and all the gays are like, yes. And she's like, oh yeah. Like, it was so good. One time she touched my cheek.
Oh my gosh. Have you not washed that specific part of your cheek since?
I was like a teenager. I worked in this restaurant and she left her credit card and I ran down the street. She was wearing green capri drawstring pants in the early 2000s. And I said, Linda Eder, your credit card. And she went, thank you, my dear.
Did it make you Frank Wild horny?
Hey, good job.
What happened? That joke is wow.
But I think we can all agree though that the Man of La Mancha, Linda Eder, is like, what inspired her to sing that? What was she like? You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna sing Man of La Mancha.
I'm gonna sing a Brian Stokes Mitchell song.
and it's so incredible because she in the video looks at the audience and raises her eyebrows as if, isn't it nuts that I'm doing this? She's like whistle toning. She's literally like, you know, it's so good.
I love her. Sorry.
No, I was just saying, I would love to see her on a gay cruise, an Atlantis cruise.
Oh my gosh.
She lives on a horse farm now, right? We also looked up what she does now. She lives on a horse farm.
She was like, I'm playing Lucy and I'm done.
Out.
It's like Susan Egan.
And Betty Buckley, they all live on horse farms.
Yeah. Right.
Really? Right. Yeah. Do they all like live in a commune together, maybe?
Of Broadway diva horse. My favorite thing, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but so Tova
Feldshaw,
five-time Tony nominee. She used to always host the Broadway beauty pageant for Ali Forney Center. So I kind of like became obsessed with her because I would meet her every year with this Ali Forney Center event. So I was like, I wonder what she's up to when she's not doing this or Broadway. And there was a really funny like video of her visiting Betty Buckley in Texas and them just like riding horses into the sunset. And I was that makes sense.
It's like a blink of the word.
That absolutely tracks. It's so funny just to think of like, what is like, just to think about, cause look, at the end of the day, you're another day older. We're all just people, right? So like, what is Liza Minnelli doing right now? What is Bernadette Peters doing? You know what I mean? Like
riding horses, Betty Buckley.
Riding horses.
Oh my gosh. So friends, like we said, it's Valentine's Day here on My Broadway Memory. So I want to talk about you two as a couple for
our dogs
moment.
Are going crazy right now. I'm so sorry if you see me like down here.
Honestly, okay, that's what you're doing. All
this is literally just like a live double date. So it's chill. It's so chill. Like, you know, we're dog parents. So like,
Sandwich is so calm though. Like these guys are monsters.
Have you met Sandwich?
Yeah.
Every time I see, I feel like he's so sweet and calm. Like these, the two of them know that we're like paying attention to someone else right now. Right. So they're like, oh my God.
But they also hear, they can smell sandwich through the screen. That's what
it is. Absolutely. Yes. They have heightened senses. No, sandwich is very sweet, but he's very over the top. He's very energetic.
Blake, when you come over for your shoot soon, Marty, I would love, well, Marty, you've come over too. So
I come over, yeah.
You've been greeted by sandwich. You're going to get a big greeting. You're going to get, I mean, he's going to want to know what's going on in your bag and your shoes and all that good stuff.
I loved in your little like blurb. It's like, your dog may pee, but it's really trained. Don't be scared. I'm like, yeah, whenever we have people come over, the dogs pee too.
Yeah.
It's more just like to like, don't wear expensive shoes to the house because like, he hasn't done that in years, but just like, you know, just in case he's a dog, you know what I'm saying? Like,
don't wear your Louboutins.
Yeah. Oh, look at the little baby cutie.
How did you guys meet? Like,
can we say that on this? Do kids watch this?
Yes. Oh. That's amazing.
Amazing. And how long have you been together?
5 years.
Cool.
The last time we had a blizzard in New York City was when we
were dating. 5 years.
What was your first date?
Okay, he tells the story wrong, so I'll do it. So,
Kaveh.
No, but you tell it like you always get it wrong.
Okay, so what's the story?
Okay, so we met on Grindr, and then he was all like, oh, let's like exchange numbers, blah, blah, blah. So we did. Then we like made plans. Okay, let's meet tomorrow.
No,
like,
it was Wednesday.
Okay, so.
So it was 4 days later.
So in the time of texting, we made plans and he said, okay, I'll message you in the morning and we'll, whatever. Never heard from him. Didn't hear from him. Ghosted. Ghosted. Boo, bitch. Ghosted. Can I curse? I'm so sorry. So,
yeah.
Okay. Blake told me like little kids are gonna watch and to watch my mouth. So I'm like, oh God, I don't want to
say
like,
that. Yes, I said read their email. No, we'll give you
everything. I read the email. Okay. So, so ghosted. So I was like, deuces, whatever, moving on. I'm busy. But at this time, I also like made the decision. I was like, because this is around the time I've been doing drag for 12 or 13 years and professionally for 10 now at this stage now. So at that time, my career, this is 5 years ago, my career was really starting to just like really get, you know, she was booked and blessed and busy. So I made the decision, like I'm focusing on my career. So whatever, move on. Several months later, he text messages me, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, who is this? I don't know who this is. So like 3 days later, I finally asked like, who is this? Because we're like texting for 3 days.
You didn't save his number?
No, of course not. I deleted it. And like, because I was like, whatever, moving on. So then he like wanted to go on a date again.
And then you stood
me up. And then I stood him up. And then he was like, meet me at Kaveh. We'll get coffee. If you don't like it, you can leave, whatever. And it ended up being a 4-hour date.
No. So Marty shows up in sweatpants and a shirt with George's hair all over it. That's all messed up and like mascara from the gig before.
Basically what I look like right now.
No.
First of all.
You look like Princess Diana compared to what you look like.
Wow. What a beautiful self-portrait.
Hang her up. What is she doing down there?
Well, we're wallpaper the living room. So we're waiting for that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So we go on the date. It's great. And then I was like, oh, so it was like a 4-hour date. And I was like, oh shit, I have to walk my dog, George, who you just saw. And I was like, I'm seeing Lipsinka at 54 Below. I need to get ready. So he like Legend. stayed in the kitchen while I was all, you know, good, goody two shoes. And I like got freshened up, got changed, and he walked me to 54 Below. And he's like, when do you want to have another date? Blah, blah, blah. So I was like, tomorrow. Duh. So my friend, so we went in to see Lipsync. Oh, he didn't go in, but I went in to meet my friend Inyaki, to see Lipsync. And Inyaki was like, oh my God, how was your date with that guy that stood you up? And I said, oh, I'm going to marry him. And then we had our second date the next day and we watched, he said he loved Glenn Close. Yes. So we watched, he loves Glenn Close, which is somewhere in this little pile of playbills, but we're going to get to that later. But Glenn Close. So he's like, let's go close. So we watched Fatal Attraction for our second date.
So wow. Romantic.
That if he stands me up again, I'm going to boil a bunny.
You know what? It just goes to show you that some things that don't start off as good as you'd like can turn into something really lovely.
Aww, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have Like, love doesn't have to be like this, like instantaneous, like va va voom, like sort of situation, right?
But it can grow. Like, I knew when we actually linked up. Like, I was like, oh, yeah.
I love that.
But like the before stuff, you know what I mean? Like, you never know, like, what could grow into something, right? I love that. Well, you're together now, and it is wonderful. You're here on my Broadway memory. And before we get to our Broadway memories, we have some fan questions for you. Yeah, for it. Okay, so this first one is for Blake. So Blake, Sarah in Florida wants to know, have you worked on any music in quarantine / can we listen to it?
Oh, yeah. So I have an album coming out on No Reverse Records in the spring called The Shards of an Anarcho Junkie. And it's an autobiographical musical opera tale. And I've been working on that a lot.
There's a lot of Broadway people in it.
Yeah, Teal Wicks, Allison Frazier, Christy Cates, Jason Harrison G, Hannah Cruz, lots of people. So that's coming out. So you can listen to that. And I've also, done a lot of orchestrating for people who are doing Zoom stuff. Yeah.
You had a musical that was like what was that musical? You wrote like a musical.
So the very first week of quarantine, back when we thought it was only going to be 2 weeks, right? So my friend Teresa Lotz reached out and was like, hey, I'm doing this project where I'm putting composers and actors and singers and directors and lyricists in a hat, and we're going to randomly pair people together. If you want to work on a project, that'd be great. And the Astoria Performing Arts Center is going to produce it. And I was like, great, that was really fun. So then I wrote like a 30-minute musical with Claire Tran about a girl who was stuck on a Disney-inspired cruise ship having to play Dottie the Dolphin over and over again for the guests. So I was like, that premiered in April. So it was at the height of the pandemic of New York. And so it's such a timestamp of...
Yeah. Can people still see it or listen to it?
You can go to YouTube and watch it. You know, it's just like, this was at the beginning of Zoom, so it wasn't as creative as it probably could be right now. So, you know, just...
Like this, my brother.
Correct, right. So it's great, but it's like a wonderful little family-friendly musical about a girl stuck on a boat.
And when did you say your album's coming out?
In April, probably.
Yay, can't wait.
Fabulous. I can't wait too. Well, we will let everyone on My Broadway Memory know when your album comes out.
We'll share it.
And Nori, we'll share it. Come on. Two Wicks. And Marty, Josh Lehman.
Broadway's Josh Lehman.
And
I love Josh.
Yes, we love Josh. Previous My Broadway Memory guest, Josh Lehman, wants to know, what inspired you to become a political activist?
Well, first of all, Josh Lehman, the president.
You have a bill for everything we're talking about.
I know. I love Josh so much. I met Josh when he was doing hair on Broadway, because my ex, Anthony Halleck, was doing hair with Josh. And so we became friends, and we've kept in touch over the years. And I love Josh. I also listened to the musical Groundhog Day all day today, because it is the day of this recording. Are we allowed to say that it's
too late?
Yes.
Groundhog Day was this week. And so I listened to Groundhog Day all day. Josh, anyway, so Josh Lehman is a dear friend. I love him very much. And who got me political? So that was the question, right?
What inspired you?
So I am a big believer that, well, you know what? Let's take it back to hair on Broadway. And how my ex, Anthony, who I love, you know, I very differently now, of course. But, you know, like, he really encouraged me to explore drag when I was, like, scared to tap into that creative side of myself. I'd done a show off Broadway where I had done it, and he was like, well, you love this, why don't you try one? I was like, no. He was doing hair, and he was like, listen, if hair's taught me anything, it's about just being yourself no matter what. Like, just do it. If you're happy doing this, just do it. And so I started exploring it more, and then I learned about how drag in itself is political. The act of drag is political, you know? And so that linked me up with, you know, like, organizations like Ali Forney Center and whatever. And then, you know, I learned about Jose Seria, who was the first queer person in America to run for office in 1961. And they were a drag queen. And the first drag queen that we know of in, like, modern times was somebody who was a former slave, you know, who started doing drag and joined underground speakeasies for queer people in drag in like the 1870s, you know?
Wow.
So, Jay Harrison Gee just paid homage to them on their Instagram. So you can check that out.
I will look that up.
Yeah. So that, like, you know, got me into politics. And then of course, like a lot of people when Trump was doing his run for presidency, you know, it really was like a wake up moment where I was like, oh, this is kind of effed. Ooh, it was like a light bulb moment. And I got political. This is a long answer, but like the moment I like really got political, aside from going to things like Occupy Wall Street back in the day and marching on Washington.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I remember that. I was there every day. So I had a bar owner. The bar has since closed. Vodka Soda Bottoms Up was the bar.
Yeah.
And I was doing the show and I made like a joke about Kellyanne Conway and Mike Pence or whatever. And the bar owner pulled me aside and was like, you're alienating straight clientele and offending me as a voter. And I was like, well, are you voting for, did you vote for Trump? So you're directly making a profit off of queer people while voting against their interests. And he was like, well, I mean, I just, ugh. So I gave him back the microphone and I walked to another bar to get another gig, which I booked on the spot. But as I was walking to the other bar, I thought, oh, you have an audience. You've been given an opportunity to have an audience in your life. Yeah. You have a platform on social media for whatever reason people follow me. And I was like, so you were doing a disservice if you're only promoting like, oh, look at, you know, my drag, you know, like that drag has given you a platform. So you need to use it. And that's how I got into politics.
I'm obsessed with
like
that.
One person who got me into it. It was like a whole kind of like a perfect storm of whatever.
So tell us about your campaign that you're running.
George just looked at me. Hi, George. Oh God, now he's coming over.
Hi, George.
Hi, Georgie.
So I'm running for city council in the 7th district. I think you guys are right across the street from my district, or like right across the line. I think you're in District 9. I don't want to tell the viewers where you live, but we'll
let's talk.
That's really where you live, but we'll talk offline.
I'm fairly certain we're in your district. Let's talk.
We'll talk. But I'm excited. Yeah. I'm running. Blake, you know, has been writing music and doing his PhD and teaching kids Viola Davis. and you know, we've been working on the campaign like really hard. We launched 15 months ago and everything we launched on has now been like super exacerbated because of the pandemic. We're fighting for housing justice for all, a Green New Deal for New York, a Green New Deal for NYCHA, which is low-income housing in New York, a Green New Deal for our public schools, integrating our public schools, getting cops out of schools, social workers into schools, defunding NYPD and funding mental health services and social services and homeless services and mental health services and getting equitable transportation. Only 24% of our subways are ADA compliant, which is insane. You know, so our disabled community doesn't have access to the city. You know, in our district above 107th Street, there are no composting sites funded by the city, which is, you know, why does Harlem and Washington Heights not have composting sites, but the Upper East Side and Upper West Side do? You know, it's because of systemic racism. So I'm really excited to fight for an equitable city, and I'm the first non-binary candidate in the history of New York City to run, and I'm excited for that. But I'm not just running to represent non-binary drag queens. I'm running to represent them as well as 141,000 people who live between 96th Street and 165th. And I'm excited to do the job. We're the top fundraiser in the race, and we're going to win.
Yes. I will say we do live within those boundaries. We'll have to discuss avenues. We'll discuss avenues.
We'll talk.
That sounds like an incredible campaign. Tell the children where they can look you up and your campaign and everything.
MartyForManhattan.com. Register to vote by May 27th. Early voting starts June 12th and the primary is June 22nd.
That's my birthday, June 12th.
Woo!
Oh my
Yay!
God.
Wonderful.
Well, listeners, please continue to check out Marty's campaign. Please check out Blake's incredible music and his upcoming album. We'll post about both Blake and Marty's incredible endeavors on our social. Thank you to all who asked a question. Excuse me. We will always take fan questions for future guests, so please keep those questions coming.
Yes. So next up, we have a very special regular segment of ours, Divas Do Weather. Our meteor...
Just wait.
Just you wait, Henry Higgins. Our meteorologist this week is not only a Grammy Award winning artist.
Yes.
But also has a minor in songwriting about meteorology from the University of Quebec.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. Telling us all about the weather this week is Celine Dion.
Hello, my friends. I'm so happy to be here. There were nights when the wind was so cold, like rain attacks. After thunder, the lightning cracks. A new day, hey, baby, has come. Thank you so much.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Thank you, Celine.
You got her. Can you believe it? We've had some dumb captions for previous Divas Do Weather. I'll tell you, really dumb ones. Also, may I just say, Celine Dion was the last like big live performance I saw before we went into lockdown, and I'm talking like the week.
Yeah,
we went into lockdown, like maybe 4 days before. And girl was singing, touching everyone, touching the hands.
Super spreader.
It was a super spreader. I was in the balcony, so I was okay.
Blake, you were going to say something.
Oh, sorry.
Blake first, and then Marty. Okay.
I really loved Celine Dion's appearance on Marty Thomas and Marissa Rosen's album.
Oh, yes.
She's making her round.
An award. Yeah,
it was very funny. I love Christina Bianca.
We're actually on one of the music video for the dog song, which
Blake, I am notorious for not reading
emails.
You read this one.
Yeah, and
30 minutes ago.
If it's not about the campaign, I just don't read it. So Blake has to fill me in on everything. So Marty and Marissa kept messaging me, get us your dog video. And then Blake on Christmas was like, oh, let's watch this video. And he was kind of like perturbed. And I was like, why are you upset? He was like, because you didn't send the video. And I was like, well, why didn't you remind me? And he was like making a point.
I reminded you every day.
Okay. You need to just put it in my calendar. Have my staffers put it in my calendar. And
Blake, I am the you in this relationship. Like,
same dynamic.
Even the carrots dipping in the guacamole.
If it's not in my calendar now, I literally have a paid staffer now for the campaign who has to put everything in my calendar because I just don't know. I'm busy. So we didn't get in the music video.
That's okay. Anyway. You're there in spirit.
Remy has access to my calendar, and trust me, he fully puts in dinner, and he fully puts in, you know what I mean? So we're totally on the same page. But if you're just joining us right now, this is a reminder that we've got Marty Cummings and Blake Allen in the house.
Yes. And remember, please go and follow us on social media. On Instagram and Facebook, we are at My Broadway Memory. And on Twitter, we are at My B-Way Memory.
Yeah. So, Marty and Blake, Now for our go-to activity. We'll have you each discuss some of your Broadway memories. Sometimes this can be done by pulling a playbill from your collection at random and discussing the memory associated with it, or it could be based on a piece of memorabilia you have, or it could just be a fun, interesting story some of our viewers may have never heard. So anything goes.
I'll go first as an example. We switch. So this week is my week. And I have a playbill for a show that was a great show, but the memory associated with it is bad. And I'll explain why. And you know what? Not all Broadway memories are good, but it's important to discuss this. It's an important topic, okay, that I want change. We have a political activist in the house, and I want this change within the theater community. This is for Shuffle Along. I picked this. Great musical. It seemed great. I was really looking forward to seeing it. It just seemed really cool and historic. Great cast. I was so looking forward to it. We all hate bad theater etiquette, right? Mm-hmm. This was probably the worst theater etiquette I have ever, ever seen. And I felt bad being mad at it because it was a mother, middle-aged, and her daughter in her 20s, right in front of me in the balcony. And in their defense, they were having a great time. A great time, but too great of a time for Shuffle Along.
You can have a good time.
For Shuffle Along, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But it wasn't like Mamma Mia or Rock of Ages. This was like a show where you like sit and you watch it, right? You can react, but it's not like a dance. I kid you not, dancing in their seats the whole first act. I mean like, woo, like arms up, this, that, and the other, going woo, yeah, woo, like having so much fun. And so fantastic. What really got me was at the end of Audra's like big power ballad, she hits this like big note and I was actually really enthralled for it. I was like ready for it. And on the big note, they throw their arms up in the air and scream. And I missed the whole last note and the vibe and everything. So I was like, I have to say something because this is getting ruined. So I leaned over to them at intermission. I was like, hey, look, I love how much fun you're having at Broadway. Like, that's awesome. But like, you're so distracting. I was really nice about it. But the daughter was like, oh my gosh, so sorry. The mom was pissed. Like as if I had like just said, I don't even know what. But so that's my memory of Shuffle Along. This is a PSA to have good theater etiquette. It was a fantastic show though. And I wish I could have enjoyed it even more than I did.
And also, Shuffle Along is a great choice for Black History Month.
Yes, listen to the. I don't know if they have a cast album.
They don't have a cast album.
You should look on YouTube. Cast album.
Really?
So that's how it goes.
Audra McDonald high kicking 6 months pregnant in.
Oh, I so just, good.
Just
I, we love it.
I wouldn't know, Blake. I couldn't tell because.
Didn't she do the splits on the Tonys while pregnant? She did something crazy.
She butt mod on the Tonys.
She did butt mod.
Yeah.
Not a dancer, Batma.
Batma.
Yes, it's a Batma. So, Marty, would you like to go first?
I have a lot of stories.
Pick your favorite.
Pick your favorite one. You could do
or
it
pick
at
one
random,
at random. Pick one
so
at random.
That you don't have to.
Okay. I'm gonna speed through because I'm gonna try to hit as many as I can. I'm gonna speed through. How much time do we have?
Oh, we have some time.
I'm gonna speed through. Okay, theater etiquette, to touch on that, because you talked about that. When we went to see the show, there was a couple in front of us. It was like four people. They all looked like they were going to a NASCAR race. And I was like, this is not the fucking time. And it's Cher. I'm obsessed with Cher. I'm obsessed with 70 J Block. I'm obsessed with T.O. Wicks. I'm obsessed with Bob Mackie. The Bob Mackie number where there's 400 costume changes. They were having a full-on moment texting Carol about brunch on their big iPad of a cell phone. And I was like, not in this moment, not in this day. Excuse me, Debbie, can you do your brunch plans later? They got up and left. They couldn't handle it.
Good.
Here for it. Also, I'm in Minneapolis performing because I was doing a gig out there. And my best friend Hernando was doing Rock of Ages and he was the opening number. And this girl next to me had her cell phone out texting. And I turned and I was like, I did not fly across the country to see you text. That's my best friend. Get off your phone. She was so embarrassed. Deleted it. Boom. That story. The night before Broadway closed down, I saw Patti LuPone in Company while sitting next to Cynthia Nixon. It was a moment. I bet we all got
what?
What a moment. And on the opening night of Head Over Heels, I was invited to walk the red carpet and attend. And my niece was living with us at the time for her college internship. So I got to take my niece to her very first Broadway show, which was a show opening. She got to walk the red carpet. She got to meet one of her favorite actresses, Laverne Cox, and hang out with her at the after party. She was so happy. So I was very honored to have been able to give her that experience. And I've said enough.
What? Okay. Well, first of all, you didn't have to go that fast, but I kind of loved how you did
it. I loved the like just
fit it in. I wanted to fit it in. I didn't want to take up too much time.
But that's what's so amazing about Broadway, right?
It's like we have time. I have a couple other playbills to go through if you'd like.
Yeah. I mean, give us some more stories. Give us the old razzle dazzle.
Wait, I do have a question though about something you said to elaborate. I imagine that Cynthia Nixon has incredible theater etiquette, obviously. But judging from her, I'm sure, very subdued and respectful reactions, like, what could you tell was Cynthia's, like, favorite part of Company? Like, what would you, if you had to guess, what was her favorite part?
I think both of our favorite parts were Matt Doyle and Nikki Renee Daniels in the, is that the,
not getting,
in the Not Getting Married Today number. Yeah. It was so good, and I'm so sad that Matt would have had a Tony nomination.
I know.
And I love Matt so much, and I love Max Clayton so much. And I also love Robin Herter so much, who's always with them.
Oh my God.
Like, it's like a whole, like, I love them. But Matt, like, Matt did my very first drag show ever. My very first drag gig I ever did was at a bar called Big 27. And I know, Woodrow, we're going to feed you as soon as we're done. At Big 27. And my guests were Matt Doyle, Adam Cantor, Frankie James Grande, and Lily Cooper.
What a crew.
We were all friends with each other. And I said, hey, I got hired to do this weekly show. Will you be my first guest? And so I've known Matt for a long time. So to go from like that 10 years ago to that 10 years ago, him in Company was like, I was so proud of him. And I think Cynthia was too.
That's beautiful. And, you know, Cynthia Nixon also made history while she was in college. She had two Broadway shows at the same time. So
and she would run.
She would literally just like go through the Hotel Edison to get to her. The role that she played in the first show was in the first act. And then she would literally like walk through, get her call time for the other show. And she was in the second act for that show.
They would never be doing that today though. Like they would never do that.
No. I think like you physically can't like through the union. I think she had to get like a special permission through Equity or something. I could be misquoting this, but
Marissa did it on the West End. She did what is the baking thing with the pies? You know, the pies, sugar, butter, waitress. She did waitress during the day and dream girls at night. Tell your story. I have to go give him food. Tell your story.
So before we get to Blake, we're going to do our good news segment. Each show we like to highlight an organization or cause that is doing good in the world. So Marty and Blake, you got a few minutes to take care of.
I'm sorry for making noise.
You're fine.
You know what? This is showing our viewers. This is real life.
We're dog dads. Like we know we're dog parents too. So like we totally get it.
But because not only in February is Valentine's Day, but as we said earlier, very importantly, it is also Black History Month. So we want to lift up organizations that are working towards uplifting and supporting Black and brown communities, because we need to shout them from the rooftops about all of this, which is awesome.
Yes, we do. So we are happy to have back Dimitri Moyes from Claim Our Space Now.
So Claim Our Space Now is a new nonprofit that I co-founded with Marla Louis-Cent, another actress from Beautiful. We were on tour together. And this nonprofit started in the wake of the murder of George Floyd. And our mission is to dismantle white supremacy and save all Black lives. And we do that in a number of different ways, looking at things like direct service to communities that are historically disenfranchised, looking at ways in which we can develop sustainable communities and create a pipeline to these Black communities and Black folks that don't have resources and access. As well as civic engagement. We know that using our voice and changing the landscape of democracy is incredibly important in our mission to save all Black lives. So we have an initiative called Claim the Vote, where we work with headcount.org to register people to vote. And last election cycle, we saw over 360,000 social media impressions. We got to register voters in swing states all across the country. This month, for example, we've launched a Black History Month art contest where we are going to have Black artists from all over the country submit their art as it relates to some of our tenets, speaking truth to power, informing, inspiring. We've already seen a couple of submissions. And nice. For those of you out there, Black artists who are watching, you can submit to www.claimourspacenow.org. Our first prize is going to be $300, second $200, and third $100. It's our little way of trying to help out artists that are being that are totally affected by COVID in this time and seeing no assistance from the powers that be in helping artists in this incredibly broken system. So you can head over to our website at www.claimourspacenow.org. Feel free to explore the website. There are so many amazing resources for Black people, for BIPOC, for white folks who want to be real allies in this fight. You can also find us on Instagram at Claim Our Space Now. You can find us on Twitter at Claim Our Space Now and Facebook at Claim Our Space Now. And some of the ways you can get involved is signing up to volunteer. We have a newsletter that goes out, and we also have an incredible volunteer base that helps us make all these programs possible. And I think especially this month for Black History Month, you know, I always say Black history is 365 in the same way that white history is all year, every month. So I think that it's going to be really important for non-Black people to think about ways in which they can help their communities outside of just posting about Black leaders that made history over the last few decades. I think, you know, our organization is really focused on direct action. What can we do that is transcending the noise, that is moving beyond the hashtags? So as non-Black people, you can really be allies in the fight by starting conversations in your own communities. When you are seeing moments of bias, or you see an instance where a Black person is being harmed or not safe, step in, do something, support our communities, amplify our voices, and don't just do it in February, do it every single month, every single day.
Yay. Yes. Thank you, Dimitri. Remember to visit claimourspacenow.org for more information.
And also, are you a part of an organization that's doing good in the world and want us to feature it on My Broadway Memory? Please, again, email us at mybroadwaymemory@gmail.com.
Yes, 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 yes. So, Blake, you are up.
Oh, great. Okay, so my, like, Broadway idol's so weird. It's Ashley Brown.
I love that.
Oh, Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
So she like helped me through a real, oh my, I know. You and Julie Andrews, me and Ashley Brown, it's like.
I love that.
Same.
So she really helped me get through some dark times, just her voice. So when I came to visit my sister when I was in undergrad, she was living here in Queens at the time. She took me to see Mary Poppins. And at that performance, they're doing Spoonful of Sugar, right? And at the end of the song, Rebecca Luker goes to leave and Mary Poppins is opening the door. So Ashley Brown goes in to open the door and the doorknob comes off.
Ah.
Then Ashley Brown goes, "Your house is not as practically perfect like me." And then Rebecca Luker goes, "Luckily there's another exit," and then just walks off stage.
That's
my favorite. Yeah.
Good.
I think there might be a bootleg of it on YouTube.
Really?
Because I remember seeing this bootleg.
Oh my gosh. It's
so
we'll have to look
at it. I'm gonna dive deep and see if I can find it. It is, I mean, you were there live, which is incredible, because that's theater in the moment. That is what it's all about. Did the audience go crazy?
The audience went crazy. Because it's like the audience lives for mistakes like that, right? And like to see how the actors
Yeah.
It breaks the fourth wall and stuff. Yeah, that's my favorite.
Do you have any other good, like, Ashley Brown things, like, that are meaningful to you?
No. I mean, I saw her in concert with the Indianapolis Symphony when I was going to CCM.
He loves Ashley Brown to the point where, like, he'll be like, you know, Ashley Brown, she's, like, a household name. And I'm like, no, she's not. Like, I love Ashley Brown, but she's not a household name. Like, he'll always
she
be like,
concertizes,
he'll
though,
always be like, he'll always be like, oh, you know, Ashley Brown is like on the same level. And like, we'll say no shade to her. She's a great singer. She's a great talent. She is a Broadway star. But in the like
she
the lexicon
over into the classical world, which
okay,
is a,
so
you know, she's a household name in the Cummings Allen house.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, 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 yeah. But like, okay,
Marty's like, yeah, go.
Like, but Blake will like put her. Blake does this thing with like very niche artists who he like loves, which is fine.
Alice Platon.
Love you for that, but he'll be like, you know, Ashley Brown and like Liza Minnelli. Like, I'm like, not the same. Not the same. Like, and what is like another one? Like, you'll put it, you'll be like Ashley Brown and Glenn Close. Not the same. Like, I love that you love her. I think she's a fine talent. I would pay money to see her. Anyway,
I have paid money to see her. She's great.
No shade to her. Great artist. Would love to have her over for dinner. Would love to see her in concert.
Yeah, but Ashley, if you're watching, she sells out Carnegie Hall every time she has Carnegie Hall. So that's where, you know, not many Broadway stars can sell at Carnegie Hall, but Ashley Brown always does. And she sells out symphony halls all over the country, which is...
But she's... Okay.
would you say she's more of like a Marilyn May?
Sure.
That's even more niche. I love Marilyn May. Good morning.
Because that's what I'm saying. It's like, if Ashley Brown is niche, then we take another like legend. If you're like comparing to Glenn Close or Julie Andrews or someone like that, Marilyn May of that same generation, who never did Broadway, but she did the Hello Dolly National Tour, but sells out every supper club that she performs in. I feel like comparing...
P-Town. She's big in P-Town.
And so I feel like that would be a good comparison of like the niche markets.
The niche market. Yeah. I love them both dearly. I've had dinner with Marilyn May. She's very nice. She's very funny. Nice. I love them both. But Blake, when he puts someone on a pedestal, that pedestal is so high.
I'm the same way, though. I'm totally the same way. Like, chances are, if you are in any production of Les Mis, like on Broadway or the West End, like, I know who you are. I'm obsessed with you. Like, when I met Jennifer Butt, the original Madame Thénardier on Broadway, I just about lost my shit. So, like, I totally get it.
You need to watch Michelle Dowdy in the national tour. Michelle, you all know Michelle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love Michelle. Now, Michelle is my Ashley Brown. Ah,
yes,
I love Michelle. She's a dear, also, dear friend of the fam. Love her. But she, when she was on tour, I would text her randomly, like, send me a video of you tonight. Yeah. Send me a video of you on stage tonight. So she would have somebody.
You were
like,
supposed to go see her when they were in El Paso.
Yeah, 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 yeah. She would have somebody stand in the wings to send me like videos of her because I'd be like, I need to see how you're doing tonight. Like,
we like her offstage coach.
It's hysterical.
Because I love her so much. And I was like, I need to see you perform.
She is talented.
Come on, Mama Rose. We love you.
I love her so much.
That's amazing. So thank you, my friends. I love that, Ashley. And we love Ashley Brown.
We love Ashley.
On the record. I don't want any viewers to think I don't love her. I love her very much.
I got what you were saying.
And we love her on the record cast album.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yep,
that's track 25. That supercalifragilistic shebang.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the Hidgetus Fidgetus, where they do all the songs together?
Yeah. It's yeah. Is that what it's called? Hidgetus. I just know that it's track 25 on the cast album.
Yeah, on disc one.
Well, okay. Yeah. I know we have to wrap up, but whenever. Oh, we can keep going.
No. Well, we're gonna go into the next segment.
Oh, well, I have one more thing to say about Ashley Brown. Okay.
Say it, honey. Say it. Take your seat.
Because she's very good. And we just watched this Richard Sherman show the other day, which was wonderful. And she sang the Kiss Goodnight. Yeah. Da, 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 whatever. You recorded it too. Very good song. So she sounded great. But whenever he plays a Mary Poppins video, which is frequent, I always have to then go, well, now let's look at Laura Michelle Kelly.
Oh, I saw them both
because,
in Ashley Brown.
No, because Laura is
great.
I love. And also I love her. She is the kindest.
I love her very, very much.
I feel like she is the sister I never had. She is the, like, I love her.
I saw her when I was 16 and I was visiting colleges up here. I saw Mary Poppins and she was my Mary. She was awesome.
I saw Ashley and I saw Laura Michelle Kelly. But then I also recently saw Laura Michelle Kelly do Me and My Girl at Encores.
Oh, she was so good in that. Oh my gosh. So she was amazing. Oh, that's so good. So
great. Yeah, it was amazing.
Just
show something. I have a great story about Laura Michelle Kelly that I cannot tell on air, but I'll tell you later.
Well, and we'll talk when you say your address.
Yeah.
She's wonderful. I love her. She's done my show. She did when I did Stage Fright. She did my show
twice. She did. Yeah.
She's everything. She sends me pictures of her baby all the time.
So glad you said baby.
Of her baby? Yeah. No. Nothing. I love her.
So, all right. So before we wrap up, we're going to move on to the next segment. And this is a special one. You know, usually we do hear from audience members where it's your Broadway memory, but we think that this is very important. So we're going to do a Broadway version of the Newlywed Game.
Oh, very fun. We have a video too.
Yes, Marty. Yeah. We have permanent merch.
Oh my goodness.
The Newlywed Game.
I was wondering why there's paper and markers here. I see I don't read email. I'm so sorry.
Thank you, Blake, for following the instructions. The game was my idea.
Yes.
So,
and Andy on this episode too?
What?
Are they a different episode?
Different episode.
It's a different, okay, never mind.
From now, but you and Aunt, you two and Andy and Orfe are Valentine's Day themed episodes.
You're our February guests.
Slide. So, okay. Me and Michael against Marty and Blake. So, Michael and I have not discussed this beforehand, we promise. So, you've got a piece of paper and a marker. We're going to ask a question, and we're all going to answer, write down our answers at the same time about what we think our significant other's answer would be to this. And we'll all reveal our answers one at a time about what our actual, we'll
so
go
So I'm
it.
Answering as you.
Correct, and I'm answering as you. But then we're going to go around, and you're going to say what your actual answer is, and I'll reveal what I said it was. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we each write it down.
So Marty, you're going to write down what you think Blake would say.
Oh, so I'm going to say what he would say.
Yes, and then we're going to verbally say out loud what I'm going to get. So you're going to write down what Blake would say and vice versa and all that stuff.
Okay.
Question one, what is your significant other's favorite Broadway musical?
Oh,
I'm not.
I know this, but I'm gonna.
Oh my gosh, what's it called? Oh.
All right, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, so we'll go for. Oh, okay, wait, hold on. Don't show it yet. Don't show it yet. Okay, Michael, what is your favorite Broadway musical?
Les Mis. Yay!
So we got it right. Fantastic. Okay. My favorite Broadway musical. Let's see if you got Company.
Oh, well, I was thinking of your favorite production that you saw, which is Hair.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I wrote a joke, which is Ina's Garden, the musical.
Oh, God. No. Okay. So
I got that wrong.
So it's Michael and Remy is 1 point because we got that wrong. Okay. Marty, say, what is your Marty favorite Broadway musical?
The Color Purple.
I almost put that Fiddler.
That's my second.
Okay.
Favorite.
Aww.
All right, and Blake, what is Marty's favorite musical? Wait, no, wait, sorry. Ugh, I'm getting so confused. Blake, what is your favorite musical?
Titanic.
Oh, I put Mary Poppins or Falsettos.
Oh. Okay, so the score is 1-0 in favor of me and my... Okay, next question.
Oh, yes, it's my turn. What show tune does your significant other sing to themselves most often?
In the shower.
Oh.
You know, I was thinking today. You would know that.
Okay. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. Blake, what song do you sing to yourself the most?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna give you guys. I'm gonna give you 2 points.
He doesn't really sing. He doesn't really sing show tunes. Like,
I just listen to them.
He listens to them a lot, but he doesn't really sing them a lot.
That counts as a point. You got a point.
Now, I saw what you wrote, and it is nowhere near.
You were singing this today in the shower.
No, I was not. Okay. Show them.
What would you say, Marty?
I would say I sing this every day. I sing with no money, no dowry, no family background. I always sing Matchmaker, and I always sing it. I sing it all the time.
I almost put Matchmaker.
I sing it almost every day, and I don't know why. Constantly singing Matchmaker.
You
16 going on 17.
Why did I suck that?
Today, yesterday, you asked me about a lyric yesterday. No.
I was singing Mr. Mistopheles yesterday in the shower, not 16 going on 17.
They all sound the same.
Because you literally threw the floor go, why are you singing Mr. Mistopheles? And I was like, how can you hear me singing in the shower? But when I stand right next to you, you can't hear me.
Oh my God. I love the newlywed game for reasons just like this. All right. What song, Michael, do you sing the most?
I'm their savior. That's what they call me.
Every day. No. Literally, as long as I've known him, he always does the specific part of Defying Gravity. And then I defying gravity. He always says
that. But lately, I've fully been like, oh, my desk and misogynists expect me to outshine the enemy. The aristocracy, I won't disappoint them.
Julia Murney's version is
so good
to die for.
Yes.
Rainbow High?
Oh,
I haven't heard that. I only recently heard her Nobody Side.
So good.
Speaking of, my answer is Nobody Side. Yes.
Yes.
I love Nobody Side. I think it's a fantastic song. I love it. Okay, one more question.
Oh, wait, what is the other song that I'm singing now a lot? Also, the one from Wicked. You know the one from Wicked that's like
Something Bad.
You know the one. And they crossed the bridge they crossed. They didn't know.
And they crossed.
Oh, thank goodness! That's a great song.
You know, I know someone that every time they poop, they go, "Oh, Miss Elphaba."
Every time,
like at the beginning of Wizard and I, when Madame Mar.
Oh my God!
Got Remy.
Oh, Miss No, not him. Okay, so, and finally, it's been a long time since anybody has seen a Broadway show, so let's test our memories. What was the last Broadway show you and your significant other saw together?
Before the pandemic.
Oh, my
God. Exactly.
Oh, I can't tell you. Wait, what have we seen together? I mean, it might have been...
And for this one, we're going to just reveal it at the same time. And if we match, we each get a point. All right.
No, I'm
Five,
not ready.
Four.
I'm not ready.
Okay, 10.
Do you guys, are you done?
We're done.
10, 9,
go.
8, 7, 6, a 5, oh, 4, a 3, 2, 1. All right, Marty and Blake, reveal yours first. Reveal it at the same time.
Oops. Wait, is mine upside down? Sunset Boulevard.
It's been a long time since y'all saw a Broadway show together.
We don't see a lot of shows together because our schedules.
Share
show. Oh my God.
Oh, that's funny.
Share get it right. That you still get
you
the
still
point.
Get it right.
We don't like, see a lot of shows, but not
together.
Together, yeah. Is that weird?
Our
schedules are so different. Yeah,
that is true. I love that you both.
That was funny.
All right, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Jagged Little Pill.
We saw Jagged Little Pill.
Oh, yeah.
So, got you two. Wait, 1, 2.
What did you write, Michael?
I wrote Inheritance, but my Sharpie ran out, so you couldn't really see.
That play was so good.
I just had Matthew on my podcast today. I interviewed him.
Oh. So great. Yeah. So great. I loved The Inheritance. We tied. It's 2-2. So, I love that. This was so
fun.
Should
we do a tiebreaker?
Yeah.
Okay. Marty or Blake, why don't you ask the question this time?
You ask the question.
Okay. You ask the question.
No, you're a quippy. I'm not quippy.
We already said who's your favorite Broadway legend? Broadway legend.
Your significant others. Oh, this is so hard.
Your right, significant others.
Oh, this is so hard. You have so many.
I know. Just think about what I'm going, what I'm doing.
Okay.
Who is yours? Your Broadway legend.
Mine?
He doesn't really.
Well, pick one.
Like fawn over. He That's just loves two. Lisa Kudrow.
I have two.
Okay, I'm going to say.
I really hope she goes in and does Chicago.
I may be writing a sketch about it. Okay. All right. Blake, what is your favorite? Who is your favorite Broadway diva legend?
Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
Okay, 1 point.
1 point.
All right. And then Marty.
It's either Liza or Patti LuPone. What did you write?
Yes.
All right.
We'll give it to you.
Her on me.
Right. I knew that.
Okay. So, funnily enough, I'm going to say either the same answer as Marty. It's either Liza or Patti LuPone. What did you write?
Oh, I wrote Elaine Stritch.
I love Elaine Stritch, but it's not Elaine Stritch.
I couldn't think of. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe because we watched Elaine Stritch at Liberty recently, so that was in my mind.
Marty, we're connected. Liza and Patti.
I'm going to say...
Two really good Patti stories, but I'll... Sorry. Go, Michael. Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just going to say Patti.
I wrote Julie.
I mean, I was thinking Julie, too.
But sadly, we do have to wrap up. But congratulations, Marty and Blake. You have won the newlyweddish game. Mazel tov. Congratulations.
Yes.
And oh. So, friends, please tell our listeners where they can find you on social media to stay up to date with everything.
All social is Marty G. Cummings.
And Blake.
Blake Allen presents.
Yes. Thank you. You are both incredible. Thank you for watching. For those of you that watched today, thank you. Our next show is 2 weeks from tonight on February 18th at 7 p.m. right here on BPN. We'll be having a virtual double date with another Broadway power couple, Orfe and Andy Carl.
Oh my God, you guys, I cannot wait for that. We will see you then. And remember to follow My Broadway Memory on social media for more updates. You can also follow me at Remy Germanario and Michael at The Michael Kushner.
Yeah. So before we go, let's take a group picture. What should it be? You choose.
Oh gosh, I think it should be...
Let's do yelling at bad theater etiquette.
Yes. So we're going to be yelling at someone for having bad theater etiquette is this picture.
Great.
Okay.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Amazing.
Perfect. Amazing. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for taking a picture with us. And thank you, Marty and Blake, Christina Bianco, Dimitri Moyes from Claim Our Space Now, co-creator Brian Sedita, Josh Freilich for the incredible opening song, and Laura Benacci for the opening animation.
We'd also like to thank everyone at Broadway Podcast Network, Alan, our incredible producer, yes. Dory, Britt, Katie. Say bye.
Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.